I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
105.7 The Fan is a proud media partner of CFG Bank Arena. Visit cfgbankarena.com for a list of upcoming events.
This is WJZ-FM, Catonsville, Baltimore's sports talk at 105.7 The Fan, and always live on the free Odyssey app. From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalace.
Coby Mayo is expected to get plenty of work at third base during Jordan Westberg's absence. Mayo's bat has always been his calling card, while he has worked hard to improve his defense. O's president of baseball ops, Mike Elias, is happy with Mayo's progress defensively.
He's good. He's moving good. I mean, he's a great defender for his size and his body type, and he's got a ton of arm strength, and he's a natural infielder. But, you know, the hot corner at the major league level is really hard, and, you know, getting to that level of play is something that he's been working on.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Valor Roofing. Need a new roof? Don't wait. Call Valor Roofing right now and get 50% off materials, plus pay no interest until 2027, saving you big. Call Valor now at 833-83-VALOR or visit valorhome.com. I'm Tim Barbalace, Ravens Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Forget the Pulitzer. The greatest honor for a sports writer is making the IA Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Fall 2024 inductee Jonas Schaefer on this prestigious honor. The Fan thanks you.
It's Combine Week. Jonas Schaefer will be there covering the Combine and the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. And he joins us now. And Jonas, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Let's start big picture. Is there anything selfishly that you'd like to come away from the Combine with?
I guess a clean bill of health. I got a little bit of a scratchy throat right now.
You and me both.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah. Playing hurt.
We were not making out for anyone listening.
No,
not this time.
No.
We have too much respect for each other's families to do that.
Yes.
I just want clarity. I want some song and dances to end. I want the promise of some song and dances to end. And then, you know, just hoping that the coaches besides, you know, John Harbaugh, besides Jesse Minter and the GMs besides Eric DaCosta are available to speak with at the podiums. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of interesting Ravens related questions that could be asked of some folks around the league that hopefully, you know, we'll get the chance to just to add to our reporting on other stuff. And then, you know, it would be helpful to kind of get a sense from asking around Indy and the various hotspots in the city, just like what the expectation is with Tyler Linderbaum. But obviously I think before all that, first and foremost is just, you know, the Eric DaCosta answer to the 1-4 Tyler Linderbaum questions that he'll probably get.
You said clarity and immediately Nnamdi Matabike came to mind for me. When do you think we'll get an answer on that? Like he says they can't talk. They can tell us whether or not he's going to play.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love it to come tomorrow. I don't think it's going to come tomorrow because that would be a about face on everything that they've done so far in terms of deferring to Nnamdi and letting Nnamdi be the one to make that announcement. So maybe Nnamdi has the timing of Lamar at the 2023 owners meetings where he puts out a Twitter announcement minutes before a Ravens official is set to talk. And then we get the chance to ask that Ravens official about that Twitter announcement. But
that was fun.
Like so much fun. Like a lot of Ravens reporters out there, I'm just kind of casting about in the dark waiting for either, you know, story A to be published or story B to be published.
Jonas, going back to last week when the coordinators had their press conference, Declan Doyle was asked the question, where can Lamar's game improve? Where can he get to the next level? Where do you see an area in which he can improve for next year?
Yeah, well, I just think it comes down to how comfortable Declan Doyle is with Lamar going off script or Lamar not really seeing the game that he wants it to be seen. You know, I keep coming back to this quote from RG3. So, like, it may be dated. Lamar's definitely evolved since those two cross paths in Baltimore. But I think you could interpret, like, John Harbaugh's praise for Lamar Jackson and his vision and just how well he saw the field as basically a kind of explanation for it didn't really matter if he didn't go from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 in his reads in the way that a quote-unquote traditional quarterback would, because he had such ability to make any throw from any kind of platform that, you know, the end result was basically the same. But if Declan Doyle wants to be more regimented than Greg Roman was, more regimented than Todd Monken was, then, you know, I do think that it'll be an important offseason for those guys to figure out exactly how well they get along in terms of being the kind of by the book passer, whatever definition that is, and you know how well they get along. I think Lamar's come a long way as a quarterback, as a reader of the field, certainly as a thrower since, you know, he was coming out of Louisville. But I still do think that there are that there are areas in which he can grow, and that's got to be a terrifying thought for opposing defenses because we've seen Lamar Jackson be the best player in the NFL, and it still might only represent, you know, 80 to 90% of his full potential. So I'm just curious to see exactly how Declan's view for this offense marries with Lamar's view for this offense and how much room to give there is on either side.
Talking with Jonas Schaefer, Inside Access here on The Fan. Jonas, we need to thank you. You gave us a lot of talk show fodder with your late question at the press conference last yeah. week about attendance at OTAs. And you did not mention Lamar Jackson's name, and neither did Declan Doyle. But I think everybody listening to the answer immediately thought of Lamar Jackson. So what did you think of the answer, and do you think we'll see more of Lamar at OTAs?
I thought it was a fair answer. I thought it skirted right on that edge of potential NFLPA tongue lashing, potential NFLPA inquiry, because obviously Declan Doyle said the necessary part out loud, which is this is voluntary. These guys are under no obligation to attend anything but mandatory minicamp. But, you know, Lamar, the Ravens have built into Lamar's contract, his current contract, the incentive for going to these OTAs. And I think they did that for a reason. And maybe we can ask Eric Costa tomorrow if he plans to have that same mechanism in place in the next, you know, version of this Lamar deal, because I think the Ravens see value in guys coming to OTAs, especially someone as important as Lamar. Lamar has kind of, you know, sidestepped the question at times, and it really hasn't mattered because I think for the most part, he's done a good job with starting seasons off on the right foot, even if the team, you know, might take the loss like it did in Buffalo. So, you know, I think everything that we've seen from, you know, the coordinators talking and the Ravens officials talking, it seems like Lamar has been very engaged throughout this whole process, even if he hasn't necessarily been, you know, on terra firma in Baltimore. So if they can get him to come to, let's just say, the majority of these OTAs and, you know, really be kind of there for the ground level construction of this offense with Declan Doyle and Dwayne Ledford and Derrick Henry and everyone else who matters to this offense, then I think that'll be a really, really important first step going forward.
Jonas, obviously the Ravens are going to be hard at work gathering information for their next draft class this week at Indianapolis, but we're looking back at previous draft classes this week on the show and starting with last year's draft class, the 2025 draft class. Did that group make the impact that you were expecting heading into the season?
I would say no, just because I expected so much more from Mike Green. I think what you got from Malachi Starks was about what you would expect from a late first round safety. Like, he didn't have a huge amount of splash plays, but that wasn't really, you know, in his control that much. I thought he tackled well. I thought he, you know, read the field well. And then they got some surprising contributions that I definitely did not see Teddy Buchanan being the kind of impact player he was based off his tape at Cal. Like I didn't see him having the kind of impact in the run game that I thought he would. And then certainly guys like Anias Peebles wasn't really able to contribute. I thought Bilal Kone would have been able to make some kind of impact, but then he got hurt. So you're really just talking about like the main three guys, because Emory Jones didn't do a whole lot. The old Daniel Jeremiah axiom is that if you find three starters in a draft, then you've done a good job drafting. And so you've got potentially three already in Malachi Starks, Teddy Buchanan, and Mike Green. But certainly with just the volume of picks that the Ravens had and just how important it is and it was for them to find year one contributions from that group, I would say it's fine to err on the side of disappointment in that regard.
Okay, Jonas, important question. You are heading to Indianapolis. Were you a shrimp cocktail guy before you started going to the combine? Are you a shrimp cocktail guy now? Are you sick of them? Will you partake on the shrimp cocktail because it's a big deal in Indianapolis?
Yeah, I don't really mess with the bar scene that much, as much as I probably should, to be honest. Like, I'm busy meeting someone or busy finishing up on work, so I've not had...
Busy doing your job, right?
Well, I think...
Yeah, but there's a job being done at the bar.
I think doing your job does mean talking to people in smoky bars and in crowded clubs, so I need to do a better job with my shrimp intake if that'll lead to more stories getting broken and more sources are being developed, and I do think I need to have more of an appetite for the finer things in life, but I do like shrimp. I do like spicy cocktail sauce.
Yes.
So I have not yet popped that particular cherry.
Wow.
This will be the week.
Yeah. That's a scene.
Yeah.
By the way, if you want a recommendation, this is from Jimmy Sunshine Patsos himself. When I went out there for the Big Ten title game a couple years ago, the Working Man's Friend is a burger place. It's about a 10-minute Uber ride. It's cash only, but it's awesome.
Cash only?
Yeah, they don't take any.
In 2026.
Yeah. But it's a high, if you like a burger, it's a high level burger.
And you can tell it's an old timey place.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It's one word.
Yeah. It's very, have you been? Have you heard of it?
I have not, but it's got a 4.6 stars out of 5 on Google reviews. Like,
look at you. You were on it.
No, Googling it right away. It's strong. And a funny story, we did not realize it was cash only. So Margie and I went, and this guy, like, we told them we were here from out of town, told them how we found out a place. The owner knows who Jimmy is, because obviously if you walked in that place once, they'd be aware of who Jimmy is. Somebody at the bar picked up our tab so that we like it's wow. it's from another time. But the burger's incredible.
They picked it up because of Jimmy?
No, they picked it up because they wanted us to enjoy the burger and we had no cash. Like, they said, is there an ATM nearby? Can I Venmo you? I said, no, we'll take care of it.
According to the Wikipedia, you can't even get in if you're 20 years old.
Oh, yeah, because they serve alcohol. Yeah, they ran some kids out of there while we were there.
Oh my God,
man. It's like from another era. You're like, Jonas, I think you'd appreciate this place.
Yeah, right, because I'm from another era.
No, because you like unique things.
Okay, I'll see if I can squeeze it into my schedule. Hopefully, I was worried I had COVID, but it turns out I do not. So
yay.
If I'm not contagious, then I'll try to explore some of the better things.
Jonas, you got homework, man, because next Monday when you come on,
we got questions.
Is this show's next evolution just going to be like a
food reviews?
Wine diary?
Yeah.
we
do need to ask you: are you buying into Andre Mills?
Sure. I mean, like as a starter for next year, it seems like he can do some cool bouncy stuff. This is a throwback comparison, and probably like a one that is more damning than praiseful, but he reminds me a little bit of like what we thought Nick Faust would be.
Interesting.
The bouncy swing who has like a little bit of a unorthodox jump shot, but when it works, everything else kind of opens up. So if he could be the 80th percentile Nick Faust outcome as opposed to the 10th percentile Nick Faust outcome that Maryland got before he went to Long Beach or whatever it was, I think Maryland fans would be very, very happy.
Jonas, you're the best, man. I'm glad you're starting to feel a little better. Enjoy Indianapolis.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Coming up next, we don't talk a lot of Olympics, But what happened yesterday morning was pretty darn awesome. We'll recap USA, the last sporting event at the Olympics, the gold medal hockey game, next here on The Fan.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball. And reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team. But is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
With the free Odyssey app, you can rewind to specific moments from all our shows.
Over and over and over. Over and over and over.
Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan. From the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
Traffic volume light this afternoon. 95 southbound, that slows briefly just after the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 95 northbound, no delays to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. And 895 northbound, that looks pretty good in both directions with no delays to the Harbor Tunnel. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Now Jack Hughes puts it around the car. United States with numbers. Walk across it comes. Jack Hughes wins it. The golden goal for the United States. For the first time since the 1980 miracle, the United States takes the gold. Jack Hughes beating Jordan Bennington.
Kenny Albert, who was awesome yesterday on the call on NBC, Jack Hughes scores the golden goal in overtime. Now, I told you last week, Bone, I don't know that I love three-on-three hockey, but it gets the game over quick because there's so much open ice, and it quickly the puck was in the U.S. zone. It came out. Connor Hellebuck got it ahead, and next thing you know, Jack Hughes is putting it in the back of the net. And the U.S. wins their first gold medal in hockey since the miracle 1980 Olympic team. First time on foreign soil, too, that they've won a gold.
Crazy. And Canada had won 15 straight games in the Olympics prior to that one. Look, I've said on the show before, I'm not the biggest hockey guy in the world, but it is really exciting. Those type of things where it's the coolest part about sports.
Uh-huh.
When people rally together and everyone sees all of these watch parties that were going on and Hellebuck, what was it, 42 shots on goal.
Yeah,
Canada,
he was incredible. They could have easily won that game 4-1.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. But even that first goal by Matt Boldy, I mean, he kind of like tipped it up in the air. Like, that was crazy concentration to do that. There was a crazy penalty kill that the U.S. had in the second period where it was a 5-on-3 that ended up winning it. But Jack Hughes, man, that picture of him all bloodied and just, oof.
So earlier in the game, he took a puck to the mouth, lost teeth, it created a double minor, which the Canadians killed. And then he's sitting there bloody with teeth missing, 24 years old, allegedly dating Tate McRae, the pop star. Also, maybe the greatest ever singular sporting event by a Jewish person that I can think of offhand as a Jew. There's a lot here to digest, and it was all awesome.
Yeah, God bless America for that. Jack Hughes, man, living the dream. But no, it was really, really awesome to see. But Hellebuck to me is like that. That's the whole story of the game, man. I mean, him just making incredible saves after incredible saves and breakaways. And McDavid had a big opportunity there, but just that's what wins in the Stanley Cup, though.
Yeah,
goalkeeping.
Yeah, he was incredible. So Ben, you watched. I asked you earlier, what did you think of this game?
It was. I'm not a big hockey guy, but it was super exciting.
Did you get into the whole patriotic thing? Were you getting super into it?
I was rooting pretty hard for the U.S. And then when it goes to overtime, I thought for sure they'd lose.
Yeah, because Canada has all the speed.
But I was just watching the odds live during the game. With all the shots that Canada had and how things were going, the U.S., for the majority of the third period, it was like a pick-up. And I was like kind of shocked. So I guess Vegas thought they had a shot. And probably if you get to overtime, it's because anybody can win. Whoever has the puck is in a good spot. But no, the goalie was awesome. It was definitely an exciting—again, I don't watch a ton of hockey, but I didn't think—I watched a little. I didn't think the U.S. had a shot.
I sincerely think, if not for Connor Hellebuck, they lose this game in regulation. Like, he played out of his mind. There was the one save where the puck's behind him. He was incredible all game long. If they have an average goaltender, they lose 4-1 in regulation. Instead, they take this game to overtime. I thought, like, with the 3-on-3 and all that open ice, and Canada's got all the speed, I thought Connor McDavid at some point, and he tried a couple times, he whiffed on one and didn't, like, I thought they'd, and you know what? It doesn't go very long because there is all that open ice, but I thought it was going to be Canada.
I can't imagine the NHL is going to prohibit their players from playing in the Olympics.
No, this is stupid.
When you have these type of things, because the past couple of Olympics, but you have that huge event, which I'm very curious to see what the ratings are going to be, and then that tournament that they did last year.
The Four Nations.
It seems like hockey, like, you're riding this momentum right now.
Yeah, the Tkachuk brothers. And by the way, Jack Hughes' brother Gavin was on the team, so there are two sets of brothers on the U.S. team. And then the Johnny Gaudreau thing, they had the family there. Cool. They brought his kids on the ice, his jersey. That was awesome. That gets you absolutely in the feels. Did you put any money on this, Bellway Ben?
No, I did not lie, or before the game, I did live. I'll be honest with you, I'm rooting for the U.S., but when it was a pick-em, I'm like, Canada's going to win.
But you were betting more on the women's side, right, for hockey?
Yeah,
weren't you?
The goat.
Yeah, that's the goat.
Hillary Knight, she tied it to send it to overtime, and shout out to the U.S. women as well. They took down Canada in an exciting one, but their backs were on their, like, they were done. I think she scored with 1:37 left or something like that to really turn it on, so shout out to them as well, Hillary Knight. Scored me a big one. She was plus. Listen, I played her a few times.
Yeah.
And I
remember one day you were very mad about it. Yeah.
Run it back. And she, like, the rest of it was juiced. -160. The final game, she was plus, like, 120, and she ended up scoring it, breaking the record.
Is your girlfriend a Tate McRae fan?
No.
You're okay. Fixated on
that. Are you aware of Tate McRae?
Yes. But okay. I don't. Yeah. My girlfriend's not a fan. I'm not a fan.
Okay. Bone, are you aware of Tate McRae?
I am aware of Tate McRae. Very talented.
Basically, what I'm trying to say is Jack Hughes has it. He'll never have to pay for a beverage ever again. He's got
because
it all.
Because of Tate McRae's money? Because of the goal.
One?
Okay, yeah. Right,
like, if Jack Hughes walks into an establishment, his drinks are paid for forever.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to the U.S. men's Olympic hockey team. Olympics are over. One of my favorite parts about the Olympics, I don't mean to be an old man cynic, is when they end. I don't watch a lot of the Olympics, but that was awesome. I hope people did tune in. It started at 8:15. And again, Kenny Albert and NBC, awesome. It was awesome yesterday. Brian Boucher, who was on the ice, did a great job. It was really cool. Coming up next, the Orioles, considered by Jason Stark. He wrote a piece talking to anonymous executives in The Athletic. And the Orioles are one of the teams that are under the most pressure this year. So what is a reasonable outcome for the season which would deem this season a success? We will discuss next here on The Fan.
Every day, complete coverage of Orioles spring training with Ryan Ripken, Steve Molesky, and the entire Fan lineup as we gear up for opening day, March 26th, live from Pickles Pub against the Minnesota Twins. Baseball is back, and it's on 105.7 The Fan.
It's cold out there today. Colder than the Grand Slam bat flip that Vlad Jr. unleashed against the Yankees in the ALDS. But do you know where it's toasty and warm and where baseball's hot stove is brewing along? The Morning Lineup Podcast. We're here Monday through Friday, first thing in the morning, to deliver you all the trade, signings, and news from the MLB offseason. All in under 10 minutes on anywhere you get your podcasts. Come in from the cold and join us.
from the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
Traffic volume remains light this afternoon. 95 southbound, though, that slows briefly just after the Fort McHenry Tunnel. Northbound on 95, no delays to the tunnel. 895 northbound, no delays toward the Harbor Tunnel. And U.S. 50 at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. Wind warnings are in effect. High-profile vehicles use caution there. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
From the OuchGuy.com sports desk, here's Tim Barbalace.
There are jobs to be won in the Orioles bullpen. Manager Craig Albernaz recently talked about the importance of having a balance of righties and lefties in the pen.
The best day, I mean, I think having multiple lefties is very intriguing. But with everyone in our camp, that's where our pitching coaches are solving, is to make our guys matchup proof. You know, so righties can get out lefties and lefties can get out righties. You know, we preach winning the line of scrimmage. Hopefully we can keep that going all through camp.
NFL teams and draft prospects are arriving in Indianapolis for the scouting combine. GM and head coach availability will take place tomorrow and Wednesday, with the first on-field workouts happening on Thursday. From the Bob Bell Kia Nissan of Essex Weather Center, temps are in the low 40s with an overnight low of 23. Tomorrow has partly cloudy skies and a high of 38. This Fan Flash is sponsored by Farnan and Dermer. Call the comfort guys Farnan and Dermer right now from BGE. Get up to $4,000 off select high-efficiency HVAC systems. For more details, call 410-367-7777 today. I'm Tim Barbalace. Ravens, Terps, and your home for the most Orioles spring training coverage. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, it's certainly something that you keep an eye on throughout the winter, and at times it can influence some of the decision making, as I think every team's looking at their projected standings. This is once again a historically strong division, and the AL East, people make big moves and there are big swings and impact players being added to the division every winter, and it's just life in this division. So I think we made several ourselves. I think we're right in the thick of things. I think this division up and down is going to be really tough, as it always is, but we enjoy it.
It's Mike Elias, president of baseball operations for the Orioles, earlier this offseason talking about this division, which is a gauntlet. And to his point, other than the Tampa Bay Rays, every team in this division has taken a swing of pretty decent measure. The Red Sox added a couple of pitchers. The Yankees, they ran it back, and they're getting some guys healthy. The Blue Jays have made some moves, and then the Orioles have as well.
Yeah, and coming off just a massively disappointing 2025 season, there's a lot of pressure on the Orioles to bounce back. And Jason Stark covers MLB for The Athletic. He put out a piece, the unnamed executives, yeah, former execs, scouts, all of these people. And they rank the team's front offices and managers under the most pressure. And the Orioles came in at fourth. It was the Mets, Padres, Astros, and then the O's, and for good reason. Mike Elias really was under fire for a lot of last year, and rightfully so, because it was not a good offseason by him. When you're taking gambles and taking Tomoyuki Sugano and Charlie Morton, and you're banking on Grayson Rodriguez to replace Corbin Burns, where I think he acted appropriately this offseason in spending a lot of money. It was the fifth most money given out in free agency. And this team on paper is much better than it was last year. But this is kind of that season for me, Ken, where if things go south and this young core doesn't step up, like, do you really look to pivot, go in a different direction? And conversely, if this team is able to make the playoffs and they are able to, let's just say, win a series,
yeah,
because that's my expectation.
Yes.
Make the playoffs and at least, you know, win that wild card series.
How about a game?
Yeah, well, start with a game, because it's been since 2014 since they've won a playoff game. But get to that ALDS and then maybe you can build on it, because we've seen that
hey, this ownership group, they were willing to shell out money. They were willing to give a Pete Alonso a $155 million contract. You can continue to build off that. And heck, I know it seems crazy to say, maybe invest internally on one of these young guys.
That would be nice. They've invested internally on one guy, and that was Sam Bassaio, who had been here 30 seconds before they gave him that contract. And that was more of a buyout of the arbitration years. That's not a real... Like, it, again, back when Adley was thought to be Adley, or Gunner is now, or healthy Jordan Westberg, or even a Jackson Holiday. Like, that's going to be real money for one of those guys if you chose to make that move. But they have not, as of yet, made any long-term commitments to this quote-unquote young core. And for me as well, they, like, first of all, they got to get to the postseason. Secondly, they have to show some modicum of success in the postseason. And you got to walk before you run. So let's win a game and then hopefully win a series. And then now you're playing with house money, and I'm feeling much better about where they sit.
I'm also very interested in seeing, because we saw him operate differently this offseason, Mike Elias. How does he operate at the deadline?
Yeah, because he's been terrible at the deadline.
That's where things really have to change for Mike, where assuming they're in the mix, assuming they're making that playoff push, like, how aggressive is Mike going to be at the deadline to make that addition, to take them over the top, to bring in that shutdown back-end reliever that they potentially could need? And who knows, injuries can and will continue to happen for this club, but... is he going to pull the trigger at the deadline?
Just a reminder, in the two playoff seasons, the first deadline they brought in Flaherty and Fuji. The second one, they did a whole lot of mess, but it was Austin Slater, it was Eflin. Eloy Jimenez, Zach Eflin, and then it was Soto and Dominguez. Eflin helped. But not beyond that, that's a lot of misses.
No, you get to the money moves, needing to make the money moves at the deadline like they did with a Pete Alonso, per se. But I also think you're going to find out a lot about the young guys. And now, look, they're not so young anymore, at least 27, 28 years old. And they're starting to build a resume. They're starting to build a body of worth where... is Colton Cowser what he was last year, or is he going to bounce back to his rookie season? Jordan Westberg, do we see him at some point? Does he even play a substantial amount of games, even when, if and when he comes back? What is Adley at this point? Because he's only got one more year of arbitration eligibility. Like, you're starting to gain a serious idea of what these guys are, because it's not this minuscule sample size anymore. These guys are building years and years of work.
That way, Ben, where are you? What is the bar, the minimum that they need to do for you to be a success?
I would definitely say a playoff series. I think you guys are on it. You don't add Pete Alonso in the offseason and add Ryan Helsley to miss. And you guys talked about the deadline a little bit. They have to get there, be competitive, but if you do feel like you're one piece away, this could be the first time we see them. I don't think that Pete Alonso was signing here with this front office believing in its old stuff. I know the trade of Boz kind of spoke to that.
Yes.
And that hasn't been talked about as much with them changing. I just, they didn't add another reliever that we've talked about. And when Mike joined Cordell and I, he was pretty adamant, like, there's not much left there. Well, to us, there's a few guys. So. Yeah. Can this bullpen, as it's currently constructed, because to be quite honest with you, I'm just calling it how it is, this bullpen is not going to win in October enough. No. I don't think they have the dogs, and you have to expect one of these guys to go down with injury in the MLB in 2026. So they got to win a playoff series this year at the minimum. I mean, and I might be taking too big of a step. They got to win a playoff game, because even in the fun year, they weren't even able to win one. So I would like to see a playoff series. But we saw the Blue Jays last year, we were talking about them as a joke, and when was Schneider going to get fired? And all of a sudden, they make a run. They handled the deadline right. They added a few pieces that played big roles on that team. Approaching the deadline is very, very crucial for this team's success this year.
Yeah, you got to make real moves. It's not about quantity. It's about qualities. Pieces, they have not... And Eflin was like a couple weeks heading. Credit to them. They got Eflin. But it was like when you're getting to those last 48 hours, that's when they made like seven trades for a bunch of
Well, yeah, because Eflin was that Friday, I think.
Yeah,
that Friday afternoon.
Yeah, it was like leading up to the deadline. But when they got there, it was like, well, they got Eloy Jimenez, and they got Austin Slater, and they got Dominguez, and they got Soto. And, like, who of those guys really moved the needle for them? Meanwhile, Dominguez was very good for the Blue Jays in the playoffs a year ago and got himself a multi-year deal in free agency. But that didn't work out here. But, yeah, they need to go get guys that help put them over the top, not guys that don't even matter when they're postseason roster.
You need to recognize the moment because things change in such a hurry. Look, the American League East is going to be an absolute bear all season long. Like, it's going to be a really, really good division. And that's where it go back to 2023, where the Yankees and Red Sox were both down that season and not really realizing the moment. You got to know when to go for it. And if this team is playing to its potential, these young guys bounce back, the starting rotation, realizes that potential, you go for it.
Orioles in spring training baseball today lose to the Braves 10-7. Highlights, Kapovich looked good. Keegan Aiken did not. Rico Garcia looked good. By the way, old friend Jorge Mateo had a grand slam. New friend Vance Honeycutt. He went one for one with a home run and two RBIs in this game. Scored two runs, so he also got on base via walk.
Good for Honeycutt, man. It's Keith Law's guy.
Yeah. He did not like Vance Honeycutt. Thought he could not see the baseball. Alas. Oh, and Pete Alonso finally played in the game and didn't homer. So there's that.
Oh, come on. Bust of the
side. You know that one? Yeah, that wasn't going to last forever. Coming up next, speaking of old friends, how about Tony Manzalino? Last year's interim manager. He's now the bench coach for the Atlanta Braves, and he had some interesting things to say recently in an interview. You'll want to hear this next.
Next time on the Big Bad Morning Show.
How great was college basketball Monday night? Also, the O's take the diamond on Monday for exhibition baseball, and reports are that Lamar Jackson has been engaged in off-season activities with the team, but is he ready to sign the extension?
Tomorrow on Sports Radio 105.7, The Fan. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
Every quarterback at this year's NFL Combine has something to prove besides consensus number one pick Fernando Mendoza, and that should make for an exciting week in Indianapolis. Every other QB from Ty Simpson to Carson Beck should throw and do everything else that they can to work their way higher in the rankings. A draft with only one quarterback in the first round doesn't have a lot of flash, but that will change as teams always get desperate. I'm Adam Abdallah.
From the A.J. Michaels Heating and Cooling Traffic Center.
Traffic volume remains very light. 95 northbound, no delays to the Fort McHenry Tunnel. 895 northbound, same deal. Looks pretty good headed toward the Harbor Tunnel with no problems. U.S. 50 at the Chesapeake Bay Bridge. There's wind warnings in effect. High-profile vehicles there use caution. I'm Scott Brady with traffic.
Inside Access with Ken Wyman and Tim Barbalace. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
He's one of the more well-respected guys quietly in the game.
Tim Kirchner told us a couple weeks ago, he said, every time I sit down with him, I think I learn 7 to 10 things.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, he's just unbelievable. And he's got a way of delivering the message that's simple and clear. I've been here, you know, coming out of the situation that I just came from, you know, and I don't say this lightly, I feel like he kind of rescued me in a lot of ways and got me over into this place and working under him. And I just couldn't be any happier.
Do you believe in vibe as we end up? Do you believe in...
Ah, Manzo. You know that voice. Tony Manzalino. We used to hear him a lot late last season. Obviously, most of last season as he was the interim manager. Finished with a winning record with the Orioles. But was not retained as they went in a different direction. Craig Albernaz is the manager. But he says Walt Weiss, the current Braves manager, former Rookie of the Year in Major League Baseball with the Oakland A's, he rescued Manzo.
Yeah, that quote, when it happened, it made some waves on Orioles Twitter. So we're like, let's hit on this. Because Tony Manzalino, look, I think he was put in a difficult situation. No one could have envisioned Brandon Hyde getting fired prior to Memorial Day.
By the way, full disclosure, I enjoyed Tony Manzalino more than most because I just found it to be absurd. So
he was a goofy guy.
Yeah, like, called it points.
He's very much a goofy guy. Oh, points repeatedly, where he gave him the benefit of the doubt initially. But I'll just never forget his first press conference following that initial game, because he didn't meet with the media prior to the game. And he was just explaining all of these reasons why I shouldn't be up here. Yeah. He was like, man, I was expecting this maybe 10 years down the line. And Hyder's my guy. Hyder really helped me. And all, and like, and you could tell that he just was not comfortable with the media. And then he would say a lot of other kind of craziness, like Jackson Holliday, that's your leadoff guy for the next 5 years. We're trying to make him be one of the best players in baseball come, what did he say, 27 or 28? I can't remember. But he ultimately was given a very unique opportunity.
He was.
Way before he thought he would. So
ever thought he would.
So that's why when he used the word rescue, I don't know.
And by the way, he was out of work.
Yeah.
Like, rescued. Like the Orioles chose not to bring him back.
Yeah.
So he, at the point where the Braves bring him in, he was unemployed.
It's a weird
choice of words from a guy who liked to use a weird choice of words.
That's where I'm at. I couldn't take it that serious. It did make me laugh. Every time I listen to him, it makes me laugh. But I couldn't take it that serious because it's like he promised Jackson Holliday was leadoff hitter for the Orioles until time is over. Now we're already having that conversation. Like, I don't know that that should be the case. Every time he would say anything, a super nice guy.
Yeah.
Friendly guy, but it's just like, I don't know. I just got saved. I guess, quite honestly, he may have thought he had a chance at the Orioles job. He doesn't get it. And he means that, you know, they gave him another opportunity. But
there was serious talk about him being a legitimate candidate here. Remember when he was talking about, hey, come spring training, we're going to be running such a tough spring training, you know, 90s-style spring, like talking future. And he would talk in that way, like a lot to end the year.
And that end of year press conference was bizarre. And to his credit, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, to his credit, said in real time he thought that he was, like, he felt doing that press conference that was the end. And he felt that Manzolino felt it was the end. And Jacob was proven right on that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, him going down the line with all the beat guys, giving him a handshake, you just don't see that. But, like, I just still don't understand why it wasn't just Elias at the end of season press conference. If you thought, clearly he knew.
The interim guy usually does. Like, anyway, let's hear one more from Tony Manzolino. He's talking about what a good clubhouse looks like.
It's the ability to hold each other accountable in a non-judgmental way.
Okay.
So these guys have this, and as I listen to Ole and Albies and listen to these guys talk to each other, they got this great way of telling each other the truth, but in a fun, non-judgmental way. And that creates the vibes because you're not walking on eggshells.
Right.
You know where you stand amongst your peers. And, you know, just being here now for, you know, a couple weeks now, getting to know these guys, that's the feeling that I have.
That's weird because it's fair to imply that what he's saying is that the clubhouse he left didn't have that.
Yeah, walking on eggshells.
And they know how to handle conversations. They do it in fun, but they get the message across.
You see, now I was thinking it was a one-off, him saying rescue, but no, this guy totally believes it. Like, he believes it.
Yeah, probably. But even we've kind of felt like that locker room wasn't right. You know?
No!
And that's what Pete Alonso, Ryan Helsley, Taylor Ward, some of these guys who have been there and done that. And even though Taylor Ward's still on his, you know, first contract, he is older, and he's played a ton of years in the MLB.
Orioles lost to Tony Manzolino's Braves today 10-7 in spring training baseball. Jorge Mateo hit a grand slam for the Braves. Vance Honeycutt, a home run for the Orioles. Alas, we will continue talking Orioles and Major League Baseball next. Scott Braun, foul territory. Get his thoughts on Jordan Westbrook, Chris Bassett, and much more. AL East. Scott Braun joins us next.
On demand. Online. On your way to wherever you're going, the free Odyssey app is loaded with opinions, analysis, podcasts, and moments that matter most from the Big Bad Morning Show, Vinny and Haney, and Inside Access. Download it today and search 105.7 The Fan.
Chris Mack here to help you get your books with Westwood One Sports. A massive game in the Big 12 on Big Monday tonight. The reeling Houston Cougars head to Kansas as 2.5-point favorites. The Jayhawks trying to bounce back from a meltdown Saturday against Cincinnati. We have no idea how long Darren Peterson may actually be on the floor for Kansas, so I'm going with Houston to get back on track and avoid their first three-game losing streak in 9 years. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetMGM app today.
I'm Boomer Esiason. My mom died from cancer. She was only 37 years old. She didn't have life insurance, and that was devastating for my family. That's why having life insurance is so important to me. Ethos makes it fast and easy. Get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. You can get up to $3 million in coverage with no medical exam.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Hey guys, this is Matt Norlander, co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast with Gary Parrish. We are part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, and College Hoops is turning toward what's going to be a phenomenal March. So be sure you are tuned into the show. We're going to be publishing at least 4 shows every week. Follow and listen to Eye on College Basketball free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. March is coming.